read, brethren, a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just like to speak about that little expression for a few minutes, brethren. He has called us unto his eternal glory. We have a calling like nobody else in this world. Called to eternal glory. There's glory in this world, and it's interesting to see it sometimes. But we're not called to any glory in this world. We're called to eternal glory. Tremendous to let it get a grip on your soul. I must say, brethren, and that's why I felt led to stand up. Just been down in Bolivia. And each time I go to see what the Lord has done down there, through the work of our brother Eric Smith and others, of course, many native brethren have been used of the Lord. One of the things that we did on the way back from the south of the country in a brother's pickup to Potosí, Brother Eric Smith arrived in Potosí in 1921. To start his work in Bolivia. We stopped in a little town called Vitichi, to the south of Potosí, and in that town there's a cemetery, and we went into the cemetery because Brother Eric Smith's first wife was buried there. I didn't really have too much hope. I think she was buried there in the 1930s, so I didn't have too much hope that her grave would be visible any longer. But to our surprise, we found it. It's still in fairly decent shape. I don't think anybody here in the States knew his first wife. Her name was Rose. She was from England. And he was only married to her for about 5 years. Before she got cancer of the brain. And he took her to England to see if he could get treatment. And when she realized what it was and how extensive it was, she says, please take me back to the Indians in Yulo. They're called Pukachumpis. In the Quechua Indian language, it means red belt because they have a sash around their middle. That's their typical dress. So they call the Pukachumpi Indian tribe. And take me back there, she said to him. I want to die amongst my Indian brethren. So he brought her back, and that's where she lived her final days. And then she was buried there in this town called Vitichi. Well, there was a lot of suffering in Brother Eric Smith's life. He lost two wives in Bolivia and one up here during his life. And there was suffering in connection with it. But what impressed me about our dear brother was the call that was on his heart. He was from New Zealand, I think many of you know, but I'll say this for the younger people. And when he got saved, his father wasn't a believer at that time. But he, after some time in his Christian life, he decided he was going to go to Bolivia to preach the gospel. And he came and told his father, and his father was a very prosperous businessman, had a lot of connections, a lot of opportunities for his children to take up to do well for themselves in this life. And so when Brother Eric Smith told him about his decision to go to Bolivia, he says, "Son, if that's your decision, out of my house." And so he had to go and make his own way. He took 2 years of medical school. And because of that, he was known as El Doctor in Bolivia, the doctor. But he really didn't practice medicine very much, but he's known as that because he did treat some people. But what impressed me was the call that he had from the Lord to go. And I just want to present it to especially our dear young people here. But it's something we all need to be exercised about. Are you living for the brief moments of time? Or are you living for God's eternal day? Remember, you were not called to anything down here. You were called to eternal glory. That is, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. And to me, it is a tragedy to see how many so-called believers get sidetracked into simply making good for themselves down here in this world. In fact, one of the tragedies to me, when you go into a nursing home to see somebody perhaps prosperous in this world, maybe has a lot of material goods, a big bank account, homes, and money. And there they sit. What are they doing? They've lost it mentally. There they're sitting in a wheelchair with absolutely nothing in front of them. They're unbelievers, of course, and I think you understand I mean that. And they have lived full to the hilt down here in this world. And what do they have in front of them? Nothing. Blackness of darkness forever. That seems to me one of the most terrible tragedies that there can ever be. Deceived by this present world to living for present advantage. And young people, Scripture says, the time is short. Doug Buchanan and I and Clem Buchanan went down the first time to Bolivia in 1968. 44 years ago, I can't hardly believe that it's been that long ago. The time is short. Time is very relative. We've been talking a little bit about time and eternity. It's hard to explain eternity. We think of eternity in the realms of time, thousands and billions of years. That's really not what eternity is. Eternity is where there's no more time. But the challenge that comes to my own soul is to live our lives for that which will last for all eternity and not just for a few brief moments of time down here, because the time is short. Don't waste your time on just mere material advantage. Don't do it. You'll lament it in the end. That's the way this world lives. That's the way they're encouraged to live. Don't let this world rob you of what is real and lasting. When I went that first time with Clem and Doug to Bolivia, I remember we flew into the city of Potosí, which is a city of about 13,000 feet altitude. And from there, a brother came in his truck and picked us up and took us to the place where Brother Eric Smith started his work amongst the Indians, a town called Yulo. to the south of Potosi. And remember, Brother Smith was up in the cab of the truck with Brother Alarcon, and I think the rest of us were all on the back of the truck there, jostling over those rough roads. At the end of the day, we came to where those brethren were waiting for him. They knew he was coming, and there was a group of them waiting on the road there, singing hymns. And the brother was driving the truck, turned off the engine, and coasted to a stop. I looked through a little porthole there to see Brother Smith, and dear brother, his head was down. Tears were streaming down his face. I must say it was a tremendous challenge to me at that time. Brother Smith turned his back on all earthly advantage in New Zealand that he could have had. What does he have now? Does he have a wealth down here? No. But oh, the results, the eternal results that will last for all eternity. I said in my own soul to the Lord, please, Lord, help me not be deceived by the material things of this world. Help me to live for that eternal day and those things that will last for that eternal day. And I just want to go briefly to Luke chapter 16, where we get the question of stewardship. God has put into our hands certain things, and I'm not talking merely about money. You young people may not have too much money, but you certainly got a lot of good facilities, good mind, strength. How are you using it? Are you using it in view of this life or of that life to come? Here we have a story that the Lord tells of an unfaithful steward. Let's read it a bit. Verse 1, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Pretty good discount, 50% discount. Well worthwhile taking advantage of. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40. There's a 20% discount. Well worthwhile taking advantage of a 20% discount. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye, or really it should read, it fails, you may be received into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Just wanted to call attention especially to this verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, why did he commend him? He didn't commend him for being unjust. What did he commend him for? Because he had done wisely. In what way had he done wisely? Before his Lord took away his stewardship, why, he used that which was still in his possession in view of that time in the future when he would no longer be steward to his own advantage. And then the Lord says, the end of verse 8, because for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Maybe this is a hard place to understand, but I think it is an important principle. How are the children of this generation wiser than the children of light? And this is the way I understand it. The children of this world look forward to retirement up ahead, and they plan for it. They look forward to that, and they're making plans according to what they have in their vision. The children of light, what is their vision? Their vision goes into all eternity. And are we planning in view of eternity? Are we planning in view just of a few brief moments down here in this world? In general, the Lord says here, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. They are acting in relation to their vision properly, and the children of light, who have all eternity before them, are not acting according to the vision that's before them. Everything you have, your intelligence, your time is a tremendously important commodity. Scripture tells us to redeem the time. What does it mean to redeem the time? Can you buy back some of those moments you've lost in life? No, I don't think that's what it means. But redeem means paying a price to buy something. And those moments you have in your life, how do you use them? Do you use them in view of eternity, or do you use them for the way any worldling might use them? You know, we have 24 hours in a day. Basically, we sleep about 8 hours. That leaves you about 16, and you go to school. I don't know how much that might be up to 8 hours that you go to school. You have another 8 hours in there. How are you using those moments? Are you buying them back for God and for that eternal day? Or are you using them just for something that you enjoy down here? That's what I saw as a young person in the life of our dear brother Eric Smith, and it was a tremendous challenge to me. And I don't lament having reflected that way. And I just want to pass the challenge on to you, dear young sisters and dear young brothers. Time is short. You young sisters that are pretty physically right now, how are you going to look in 50 years if the Lord leaves us here? Are you going to be thinking about how pretty you look? I don't think so. You young guys that think you're strong and able for things, let me tell you, strength runs out after a while. And you start getting aches and pains in your bones. I proved it. But let me tell you, while you have those things in your power, use them for God and for God's eternal day.